was a three-story building, and it was a shoe shop.
Now, is that Rasmus? Now, what I know about, all I know is the bottom floor, or two floors, was Westboro Underwear. And the top two, or three,
Rasmus
were Rasmus and Shoe. Now, was it, in your memory, always Rasmus and Shoe?
Ever since I can remember.
So, at least from the 30s on. And what kind of shoes? Saddle shoes, somebody said. They remember saddle shoes being made there.
Yeah, I think that's true. That just came back to me. That's right. I don't know who told you, but that's absolutely correct.
Well, they packed them, and they said they sent them all over the country,
that's
actually.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Saddle shoes.
One woman had every color saddle shoe. Red, red saddle shoe. Red and white, blue and white, brown and white, black and white. But
yeah,
that must have been.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
But I don't know whether they made any other kind. That's the only kind people remember is.
I'm trying to think who worked there who's still around. I think one of the Hacketts did. Oh, Hackett did, but I'm not sure whether.
Because a long time ago, there were many, many different shoe places in Westboro in the 1880s, 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Golden Walker, which I think that became Rasmus.
That
building, because we have some photographs that look like that thing was built a long time ago and Rasmussen took it over. But what the bottom floors were Westboro Underwear. And what do you remember about Westboro Underwear?
Just the guy who ran it, Louis Fairbanks, and then his son took it over after it had burned down. But old Louis lived up on the corner of Phillips Street and Church Street in that big house. It's on the corner up there now. And,
now, what kind of underwear? I was told ladies' underwear. In fact, Rachel Deering calls me bloomers.
Yeah.
Then
ladies'
drawers, long drawers.
I don't know.
Actually, supposedly shipped all over again, all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall's,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. And
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
Big business. But interesting, not advertised around here particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go buy Rasmussen shoes, by the way?
Yeah.
They were
sure.
Sold around Westboro?
I think you could go in the factory and buy them, just like a factory outlet. That
mm-hmm.
was, now that it comes back to me, I never bought any, but I think you could.
Yeah.
I think I remember.
All right. Now, tell me about the hat. Do you remember anything about the hat factory on Phillips Street?
Only in the early 40s. When it was deserted for a good number of years when I was growing up, and then in the early 40s, or right maybe after the war, it had begun to open up to businesses who were moving into there. Denison was one of the companies who moved in there, and the rope factory moved in there, and that's where the fire started.
Right, I've got.
And I was there that day the fire started. I was up, Tommy Kelly and I, who still lives in Westboro, were seniors in high school, and football season had just ended, and we were up looking for a job. And we walked into the place, and we saw sparks come out of a window, and Bob Teagle and some of the guys started jumping out of the windows. We saw the fire right from the very beginning until the very end.
Wow, that was the biggest fire that hit Westboro,
yeah.
March 4th, 1947.
That's right.
And it
was it March?
Yep.
We'd just gotten through playing some kind of sports. Might have been
basketball.
And we were looking for a job for the summer. We walked in.
What a huge... And did the town really feel like fear for its survival?
Fires all over the place. You know, the SPACs were... It was a gas station right across the street. It's a wonder that didn't blow up. Two gas stations.
Travis was
two or
one,
three
right?
houses around burned. A lot of damage to a lot of houses around. The diner across the street had a fire on the roof.
People were wetting down roofs and things to...
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have... Rocky Paolini was telling me about it.
Rocky,
he was in the middle of it, actually.
Yeah,
so
right.
I talked to him about it. Now, going down... So you don't remember the hat factory actually producing hats.
No.
It must have stopped before the 30s. Or just in the 30s.
I would say so.
Right.
I would say so.
Because I think it made men's hats up to
it was vacant, as I remember, as a kid growing up, going by there, it was vacant until the 40s.
Until they began renting out
after
to these
coming back from the war, it seems to me, people were coming back, starting businesses,
mm-hmm.
and times were booming.
That's when it began coming up again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Now, do you remember Nason's at all? That was
sure.
Where was that and what was
it? Nason's grain store? Okay. Nason's grain store is where the Gulf service station is now. On that triangular piece of land that whose the point goes from Milk Street and goes down towards the center of town in a pie shape.
Mm-hmm.
And along that pie shape.
Is that still doing that?
Huh?
That's right. It's the gas station that's in the pie.
Yeah. What is it? What kind is it?
Well, it was Texaco.
Now it's something
Texaco.
Else.
Texaco. Okay.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah.
It's the gas station.
Gas station, station right?
Now,
but all along there, they would have it was like a barn, a one-story barn, and with doors on it, big wooden doors, and in each stall they would have hay, some kind of grain, wood or something like that, and then towards...
Coal, yeah.
Coal, yeah, they would have all kinds. No, they didn't keep the coal there.
They had coal down on...
Brigham Street, on Union Street.
On Union.
Yeah. And they tore that down. The Union Street, it used to... The coal used to come in on railroad cars, and they would dump out of the bottom and go onto a conveyor belt, and the conveyor would take it up into the building. And then when the coal trucks would go in and load, they would come in and open a chute and load their trucks up. But all the coal came in on railroads, on railroad cars. But that's where all the coal was.
But then you remember the grain people, the farmers and
the
dairy
people.
The
farmers and people would come in for their grain and hay. They had a lot of hay stacked up in there.
Hmm.
And the office was a building that was adjacent and next to what is now the pub, that building.
Right.
That building was always the Chronotype.
All right.
And J. Nason, what was the name of it? J.S. Nason and Sons.
Mm-hmm. Was that? Where was Ma Meg's bowling alley?
Okay, Ma Meg's bowling alley was where, right now there's a woodworking shop. Before that, Cal Corey had his rug shop.
I always thought that's about right above the pub, but it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is. So where was Nason in relation to that?
Nason Cole?
At the end
of that block.
That's right.
So Ma Meg's was going on when? When was that a bowling alley?
Oh, that was during, I don't know when it began. At least it was there in the 40s. I was 10 years old. I'm sure it was there then. It was probably there before then. 50s. Yeah, so it was probably there 30s or 50s.
Now, going across the street toward south, or East Main had Bay State Community House and the playground, which is called Franklin Playground, and
called
Forbes Field for a long time, but for some reason it was Franklin Fieldhouse in the 60s. They were referring to that, unless there was another Franklin.
No, that's not so.
Town. I was like, where
they,
is this?
The Bay State gave the money for the town to build a new clubhouse on Franklin Street.
Oh, that must be it. Where's Franklin Street?
The street that goes into the school on Fisher Street. You know the Fisher Street School?
Sure.
There's a Franklin Ave that goes in there, and there's a clubhouse in there called Franklin Street Clubhouse.
But that was always
Forbes Field.
Yes, what happened was...
Where the factory is now, the front of the Bay State, was part of the field.
Yes, I know what happened. The town sold Bay State the field, and Bay State paid for the new Franklin field and field house. And
no,
I didn't
just
know
the field.
Field house. I didn't know where Franklin Street was at that point. I said, where
right.
is it?
Right.
All right, that
That's
makes
it
sense.
Right. It's a shame the town ever sold that.
Yeah. Then, so that was Bay State. And then coming around the corner, there's there's Dorothy Hickox, which was the post office. And we can't quite figure out when it moved, except I asked Hickox today, and they said they moved in about 1950, and it had been vacant for a year or two. So, we're thinking that the post office moved up to somewhere around 48.
And behind the, there was a railhead that came up to right behind the post office, and that's where Nason used to unload his, used to be a big 2.5 or 3 story building where he kept his coal there.
All right, so that's where the coal place was.
That's right.
Now, behind somewhere was armor packing and stockyards.
Okay, that was down, that's Brigham Street that goes beside Dorothy Hickox's building. If you leave the Rotary and head down Brigham Street towards Bay State, there's the new Bay State building, and the building next to that used to be the freight house. That's where the railroad cars would come in with the Railway Express. Okay, and the Railway Express used to drop their packages there for delivery to the town. And there used to be a fellow named Fenno Carter who ran that for years and years.
And he used to deliver them around town with
his car. Also, the stockyards, there's a driveway right beside that freight house. And heading east along the railroad track, there were some stockyards there where the Aronson brothers and a lot of cattle dealers would dispatch and receive their cattle.
The Harveys were saying, right in the, particularly during the war, they had a lot of cattle.
That's right.
Come in.
That's right.
They used to drive them up.
Main Street.
Main Street. It's hard for me to believe. Cattle running up Main Street. And the kids these days, the kids threw firecrackers and the cattle went wild.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay, coming around now down South Street.
Down South Street from the center of town.
Yeah, well, was there, right on Brigham, there was always a gas station or a car dealer?
On Brigham Street?
No, on South Corner, you know, right near the Rotary.
Yeah.
Right where Sunoco is.
Oh, yeah, where Sunoco is. When I was a kid, that was a vacant hole in the ground.
It used to be a Westboro Hotel, that's what happened.
But that was before my time.
Yeah.
But for years and years and years, that was a hole in the wall, in the ground. And behind that used to be Jockey Boland's stables, Jim Boland's stables. And that's where the mosquito fleet used to sleep at night, hang out down there. They, Westbury used to have a mosquito fleet.
Is that where they, I've heard of them, they sat around the big elm tree, right? But I didn't know where they slept.
Well, they used to sleep down there, sleep and drink down at Boland's Band. Where Dan's American Motors is right now.
Right. Now, was there a car dealer in town then?
Was there a car dealer?
Yeah, in the middle of town. Gannon Chevrolet, I know, was down in East Main. But, all right, as you're coming around South Street, what is it?
There used to be a Ford dealer.
Okay, there used to be a Ford dealer right beside the community house on East Main Street. That was called Wheatley's Ford. They were in business for years. And that's the building where the Westboro Auto Parts is right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was Wheatley Ford.
Now, what was where the Western Telegram Gazette is now? That
used to be a big old building, and that was refurbished by Joe Pratt in the early 50s. That used to be just a big old building with apartments upstairs. And down below, there was a cleaner, J.K. Rives, at a cleaning shop. And I don't know, there were...
Furniture shops, anybody?
I think there was a furniture shop in there, but I don't really remember. I'm not sure of that.
Because I've just been, all right, then I was told about the Golden Rooster.
Okay, yeah, now heading down next, where there's a, right
when
now...
When did Waddell's go into?
Oh, a long time.
What
until
else
after.
Is?
Waddell, where the Sunoco station is now, Waddell used to be a Chrysler dealer.
Yes, they do.
Is he? No, he was down further on South Street, where Beansy White's auto body shop is. That's where he first started. He didn't go up to the center of town where the Sunoco station is until after the war, probably. Mm-hmm. I'd been in the 50s.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what do you remember down south, though?
Okay, heading down south, after that building, where there's an insurance company now, Butler Insurance, mm-hmm. that was the M&M package store that was there for years. And where the Stakeout is now, before the Stakeout, that was a bar room. That was the A&A. And the building right next to it, that is now the washer and drying place, was the Golden Rooster.
Okay.
Yeah. And before Friday Night Fights on TV, Westboro used to have its own Friday Night Fights.
That was the, was that
between
the
Between the AA and the Golden Rooster.
They were side by side.
They were side
two
by
bar
side,
rooms.
Right.
This place.
And they used to come from all over. That used to be.
There really were fights,
oh, yeah.
often.
Often. Yeah. Friday Night Fights. You know, as kids, we used to go down and wait for the fights to happen.
Bad news. Boy, this place was a
rip
roaring town. Probably all towns were, too.
Oh, yeah.
No television. You got to wait for the fight to come out the barroom door. Then there was...
Going down South Street there, where Hayes Leather is now, I think was a big building, and it was Creamer's Furniture. So when I was a young kid, it was an old, dilapidated kind of a run-down building, and I don't think it was open. But before that, I think they told me it was Creamer's Furniture Store. That was John Sheehan's wife's parents.
Then across, no.
And then going down South Street further, there was a house, and where Don's Donut Shop is now was always a gas station. Always a gas station for many, many years. And out back was Sid Apt, always had a welding shop. That was a very popular place. And across the street on South Street, where JJ Appliances are now, in the Westboro Auto Body, that was Waddell's. Waddell was a
was that the one that you said
Chrysler,
was Chrysler
Plymouth dealer. He was there for years.
Okay, then if you can work up from Waddell's to the corner.
To the center of town.
Yeah.
Okay, as you walk up where Cumberland Farms and those stores are now, there was a big old house, and next to the big old house was the Chinese laundry man that was there, Charlie. Always called him Charlie Chin. I think
his name was Chin, actually.
Charlie Chin, yeah, that might have been. He was there for years.
He was there, you remember him?
Yes, absolutely.
And until when? When did he leave? I miss him.
He must have been there. When I was going to school, he was there. Big thing to look back now, it was terrible, but used to go by there and open the door and all the kids yell, "All Chinamen eats cats or something, or rats," and close the door and he'd yell at you, you know. And that
get him
it.
To yell at, they did that way back in 1910, I've been told. Get him to mad and yell in Chinese. There were always several Chinese laundrymen
right.
in town. And
was
that was where the parking lot is now, or where the Westboro... Explorer Scout thing was. Right?
That's right, right in there. And on the corner there, I don't know. I guess that was all it was there. There used to be, Cap White used to have a little fish and chip store in there for, I don't even remember when that was. That was in the, that was Ralph White's flat. He had that there around the 40s.
And there was
Where the second edition shop is, mm-hmm. Emerson Rogers had his electrical. Emerson Rogers was the town electrician. He had his electrical equipment shop there for many, many, many years.
Hmm?
And next to that, where Lowe's is, there's been many, many people in there who've had that store. Now, before the war, Sonny Dodd, I think, Sonny Dodd and somebody else had a little fruit variety store in there. Then they went in the service, and old Mr. Williams ran it. And then when he came, when his son came home, Russ Williams ran it for years and years.
And that was a variety?
And it was the same thing as what Lowe's, and Lowe's bought it from Russ Williams.
So it's been a variety store for quite a while.
For a long, long time. Next to that was always the Westport Drugstore.
C.S. Henry started, and then Boyce, Bill
That's
Boyce.
Right. And next to that was Noah Trank's shoe store.
I love the name, Noah Trank.
Noah Trank. That was T-R-A-N-K. But it's really a French name. It was T-R-A-N-Q-U-E. But they had Americanized it too, Trank. His name was Noah Trank, and he also had a background. But he was the tax collector, and that's where you'd go to pay your tax, in Noah Trank's back room. And every time you go in there to pay your tax or your poll tax, there'd be all the old cronies in town sitting around smoking, talking, shooting the breeze.
The only back room I know is Lowe's now, and there must be others, yeah. But... Oh, the Central House. How long has the Central House been there?
Ever since I...
Always been the same?
Yeah, but it had always been run by Monahan, Danny Monahan. He was a town character for years and years.
But it's been boarding house and it's been a saloon. Mm-hmm. Right. And beside Noah Trank, still going up.
Okay, beside Noah Trank's, when I was very young, there was a Western Auto there. It was run by old man McGlinchey. And after the Western Auto...
What, were they auto parts or something?
Well, remember Western Auto? There are still Western Auto stores around.
E-R-N, W-E-S-T-E-R-N, as in?
E-R-N.
Yeah, Western Auto.
Yeah, and they would have auto
like
pads. Yeah, it's like an Overshawn. They'd have little hardware things. And I could still see the sign. It was red with a white circle around it. And I've still seen them. And I think in many parts of the country, they still have Western Autos.
Okay.
And next to that, where the package store is, was Charlie Borden's GE. He sold General Electric in there for many years. He was a dealer.
Of appliances?
Appliances, yeah. Then come to the corner again, there was a jewelry store.
You did it very well. I mean, this is mostly 40s, you're saying, things that would, a lot of them
would
stay into.
Sure.
That's great, Jim. Now, what do you remember of Route 9? You were telling me about the cabins, and I'd like to ask you, starting up where?
Okay, we...
GTE or?
Okay, as you would head west on Route 9, you'd come over the South Grove Line, and heading west on Route 9. The first set of cabins on the eastbound lane on the left-hand side were Hooper's Cabins. Now, Hooper's Cabins was run by Inez and Bill Hooper.
She's still around.
She's still around on Gary Circle. And that's exactly where the Lindland Power Service Company is now. Okay. Then there was the Freiberg Farm, which is now GTE.
Mm-hmm.
And as you cross that new access road, you'll see some land there that's kind of high, and that was Emma Farrar's, Emma and Bob Farrar's cabins.
F-A-R-R-A-R.
That's correct. Emma Farrar's cabins.
Now
continuing...
Are you remembering these in the 30s also? Are you...
I remember them in the 40s.
Because
Route 9 was a very popular road.
Route 9 got finished or improved in 1931, 32.
Okay, this is the 40s.
So they must have been built right.
Okay, and that was a very popular road when people traveled, and they used to stay in these cabins. You know, they would travel and stay in the cabin. And still heading west.
What is Thompson?
Okay. I'm trying to work my way down to where the comes into McDonald's on that side of the street. Okay. So Emma Farrar's. And then there was a lot of vacant land. And then there was a farm where the Chinese place was now. It used to be the Fox Lounge.
Yeah, that was,
A bank.
Murray.
Who was it?
Murray.
Murray.
And then Katunas bought it, but it was Katunis.
Katunis, right. Katunis's father bought it and had a dairy farm there.
It was 1881.
The first one was the 1880, and it burned down. They built the 1881. Okay.
That was the barn now that they
That's
made a restaurant.
The barn. That's right.
And that was Katunis that did that?
Yes.
And when was that? That was that restaurant then, the 40s?
That's right. That was in about, right after the war. A lot of these things came online, 45, 46, 47, 48, and along that time.
So
I would say the 1880 or the 1881 house was around 1946, 45.
And then it became the Fox Lounge after that? It's become everything else since then.
That's
who knows,
right.
Modern. Okay. Go ahead, then down.
Now, on the other side of the street down that
yeah.
fact, coming in from South Road, on the right-hand side, where right now they're building the Sheridan, there was a playhouse.
All right, right, but they're doing Howard Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Shafaro, the corner of
495. Where Shafaro is right now. Right there was a playhouse, and this was again right after the war. It was some people who.
No, I had that.
Robert Daggett Playhouse.
Robert
Daggett.
D A G
G G E T T. Playhouse. Now he was.
Now was he? Was when was that built? Right after the war, you're saying?
I would say in the '50s.
Okay.
Or after the war, sometime before that. Before that, right after the war, probably. I'd say 45.
Because there was something in 51 advertised as the Turnpike Club with Ted Mahan and his Western Airs.
Sure. I think
that
was
place?
Up to the, I think, the Turnpike Club?
That's what they called it.
Oh, no, that was down, I'll tell you what, that's down where Sears and Roebuck is.
All right.
We haven't even got that.
No, all right, I had no idea where
okay.
that is.
But Robert Daggett Playhouse, he was associated, I think, with the Red Band and got thrown, so he built his own playhouse. And that later became the Duplicon Factory. It was a big place with a big, he made a big splash up there.
What happened to Duplicon? Is it still there?
No, they tore that down. They sold the land for a great amount of money.
And
that's where Shafaro is.
Shafaro
right
is,
okay, now still heading west on Route 9 on that same side, the next area in through there was Fenno's Farm. They had a big chicken farm there. And continuing down to where Lion Street used to come on was Thompson's Lodge.
Yeah.
That was a very popular place.
Steak, right?
And a lot of the people from Westboro used to go there.
Now, do you remember that was after the war, too, you think?
Oh, no, that was before the war. That was before the war. And right up into the 50s and 60s and 70s, probably. When did that?
It was gone in 73 when I came.
End of the 60s, yeah. It was run by Chet Thompson and then his sons, Harold and Earl.
And that was a good restaurant.
Good restaurant. Everybody went there, a lot of towns.
It was a gas station.
It was a gas station.
Then there was some more cabins somewhere.
Okay, now still heading west on Route 9 on that side, down beyond Lion Street, where Bob Matthews now is, there were some cabins called the Twilight Cabins. And that was run by, what was the name? Watson. I can't remember.
You had Hoopers already. I have her name someplace.
Watts, I think it was Watts. What's that, Eddie? What was your uncle's friend's name there? Louis and Walter Duckworth and Eddie. What was his parents' name?
I think I have it listed.
Yeah, okay.
Then we go down to the Red Barn.
The Red Barn.
Now,
right.
When do you remember the Red Barn starting up?
Well, I don't know. I don't really know. But I know while we were going to school in high school, and we would spend from the 7th grade to the 12th grade, the people who used to be actors and actresses down there would come to the Mary M and eat every noontime. The Mary M was a rooming house and an eating dining room establishment right across from the high school. We'd see all the actors and actresses over there.
Did they stay at the Mary M?
No, they stayed down at the Red Barn.
But they would eat.
In fact, I see a guy on TV all the time now that's that was down there for a long time.
But that was in
Murray Hamilton.
Yeah.
He's always on TV, a lot of TV shows.
That was in the 40s?
Yeah.
I know they had good summer stock, too, because...
Good summer stock. Wendell Corey started here, and people like that, and they were all there, and the kids all.
The guy on Hogan's Heroes that plays the Colonel, mm-hmm. supposedly
Schultz.
He was... No.
No, I mean the
tall,
Colonel.
Thin one.
Oh, yeah.
He was married in Westboro.
Wasn't.
He fell in love or whatever that summer and got married up at St. Stephen's.
There are a lot of people. I see a couple of names I remember.
Yeah. Okay. So that went on right up into the 50s, I remember, because I...
But I'm sure it must have been there before, at least from the 40s.
Right.
And they also, I don't know, probably somebody's told you, they used to have the Town Hall Playhouse.
Not much. Who had the Town Hall Playhouse?
Okay, there used to be a town in the auditorium of the Town Hall. Every summer, they would have the Town Hall Playhouse. And they would have a director and a crew, just like they did at the Red Van. However, they would bring in names, like C. Audrey Smith was always there, and Fifi D'Arce, or some of those. Always big names, and they would have matinees and during the week and things.
This was when?
This was also at least in the 40s, maybe the 30s and the 40s.
It was good summer stock then.
Mm-hmm.
Would they stay in town?